If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, and then we'll read verse 1 all the way to verse 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 all the way to verse 5. First John chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to verse 5. This is the word of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The last time we were in 1 John, we did 1 John chapter 4. We spoke about God is love, and we spoke about the fact that God wants his love to be perfected in us. We explained what perfected means. It doesn't mean that we are perfect, but it means that God wants his love to accomplish its goal in us, his desired goal in us. God wants us to love him with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. God also wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and God wants us particularly to love believers. So God wants his love to reach its goal in us, that we may be filled with the love of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 to 19, for example, says, for this reason, Paul is praying for the Ephesian church, and he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, so you're already rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. The more we understand God's love, the more we are filled with God's love, the more we know God, and the more we can do God's will. Our theme this year is the love of God constrains me. In chapter 5 of 1 John, he continues with the same method that he's been using all along. If you've been in that book maybe for a year and a half now, and you see John mixes things around. He repeats himself quite a bit. He adds some new thoughts sometimes. Sometimes he adds nuances into what he says. Sometimes he shows the interconnection between the ideas, the central ideas that he's trying to communicate. In this chapter, there's basically three themes, and I think those are the three themes that John has been trying to communicate throughout the book. Faith, or belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, love for God, and love for others, and obedience to God. If you put that together, you have the theme of John. Faith or belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, love for God and others, and obedience to God. And he interlocks them together, and he shows that you cannot dissociate them. You can't say, well, I love God and I don't love other people. You can't say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't love God. You can't say, I love God, but I don't believe in Jesus. You can't say, I love God, I love Jesus, but I don't love people. They are interconnected. And even in verse 5, he shows how it works. He says, number one, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have been born of God. Number two, he says, if you love the Father, the second part of verse 1, you love those who have been born of him. So if you love God, then you love those who have been born of God. If you love God, then you obey his commandments. And you know that you love the children of God if you obey God's commandments. Number four, he says, loving God means obeying his commandments, verse 3. And then he goes back to saying, if you are born of God, what do? You overcome the world, verse 4. If you have faith, you overcome the world. If you believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, you overcome the world. You see how it's connected? He says, just look at verse 1 and verse 5. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have been born of God. Verse 5, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have overcome the world. He connects those things together so that you don't separate them. They're one. Today I want to look at John's observation about the commandment of God, verse 3. And then next time we will look at verse 4, where he says the words that have inspired the song that we just sang, faith is the victory. Or he says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So next time we'll do that. But today I want to focus on God's commandments. In verse 3, he makes an interesting observation about God's commandment. He says, for this is love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Or some of your version have, his commandments are not difficult. Well, if you're like me, every time I read that verse, even if when I study it, when I read his commandments are not burdensome, my question is like, really? Because most of us struggle with the commandments of God, don't we? We don't read that text and it's like, oh yeah, it's a piece of cake. It's so easy to obey God's commandment. No, we don't read that text like that. It always puzzles us because we know the struggles that we have in our lives. John uses different phrases in the book, in his epistle to in reference to God's commandment. He says to keep his word is the same as keeping his commandment. To walk in the same way as Christ walked. To do the will of God. To do what pleases God. To practice righteousness. To walk in the truth. To abide in the teachings of Christ. So he uses various ways of saying the same thing, to obey God and keep his commandments. As I said, I've read this verse countless times over the years as a pastor, as a young believer, as a child, and it has always been, I don't think it's that easy. Because that doesn't seem to be our experience. As I was preparing the passage, I thought of the rich young man who Christ said, what can I do, Master? What can I do to inherit the eternal life? And he said, well, you know the commandments. He's like, I've done all of them. And Christ says, well, you missed one of them. And then he sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he left disappointed, burdened, because he couldn't do that. But I think to understand what John is trying to say, we need to look a little deeper into the text. And I want you to look at another text before we actually look at that text. And I think that other text will help us better understand what John is trying to say about the fact that God's commandments are not burdensome. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Most of you know that passage. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. So I'll spend some time there and then we'll go back to John. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And again, you read that, it's like, what? How can a yoke be easy and a burden light? That doesn't make sense. If you know what a yoke is, it's this big piece of wood that you put on cows so that they can do the job. It's a heavy piece of wood. And you place it on the animal and you lead the animal one way or another. It's not easy. And this is my burden is light. Well, if it's a burden, how can it be light? How can a yoke be easy? How can I, something that controls me, something that's heavy on my shoulder, that's controlling me and making me do things that I don't necessarily want to do, be easy? And how can carrying a burden be light? What Christ meant in that passage is that if you compare my yoke and my burden to the yoke of Satan, and the yoke of this world and the burden of this world, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ is not saying in this passage that following him is easy. That's the reason why he used the word yoke. He's not saying that following him is easy. That's the reason why he used burden. In many, many passages, he says, if anyone come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. It's a burden. And yet Christ is saying in this passage, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is better, though, to have the yoke of Christ. It is better to carry the burden of Christianity than the burden and the yoke of this world. That's what Christ means. The yoke of Jesus is easy because of its outcome. Because of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Let me give an illustration from the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 29, you know the story of Jacob when he met Rachel and when he met his uncle Laban. You know, Laban was a very difficult man. He worked Jacob for 20 years really hard. Changed Jacob's ways many times. Jacob worked during the daytime. He worked during the nighttime. And the sun scorched his back, he says, in one of the chapters. He says, by night he was freezing cold, but he had to take care of Laban's animals. And he did that for 20 years. But in Genesis 29, before his whole labor started, Jacob fell in love with Rachel. He saw Rachel and he fell in love with her. And he told Laban, listen, I'm going to work for you for 7 years if you allow me to have Rachel as my wife. And Laban said, go for it. And the text says this. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed to him for like a few days because of the love he had for her. Those 7 years were not easy. But because he loved Rachel so much, those 7 years, we're talking about 7 years. We're talking about a month. I've been here for 7 years. We're talking about 7 years. And it seemed to him like a few days because of the love he had for her. Jesus' yoke is easy because it gives us eternal life. The yoke of the world leads to eternal punishment in hell. The burden of Jesus is light because he helps us carry it. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. The yoke of Jesus and the burden of Jesus is a piece of cake compared to the burden of the world. When he looked at them, he says, come unto me all who are laboring and heavy laden, and they are restless in verse 28. He called people who were tired of the yoke of this world. And he said, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. And take my burden, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is not saying that it's easy to follow him. What he's saying is, if you compare the alternative, following him and taking his yoke and his burden becomes a piece of cake. So John's comment in chapter 5 verse 3 should be interpreted similarly. It is not easy, in some sense, to obey God's commandments. Paul speaks of the law of sin, raging war against the law of God in his heart. But when you think of the alternative, when you think of the other commandments, when you think of the law of the world, when you think about the leader of this world, of this evil world, the alternative is not better. Would you rather live a life under the yoke of sin or life under the yoke of Christ? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, he says, anyone who makes a practice of sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Would you rather live a life of lawlessness or a life following God's law and God's commandment? In chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, and chapter 3, verse 8, he speaks about the world being led by the desires of the world. And he says, whoever practices sin is of the devil. Would you like to be under God or would you like to be led by the devil? Because there's only two ways. There's no middle ground. You're either led by God and his law and his word, or you're led by Satan and his law and his words. Because Satan have words, Satan have laws, Satan have even doctrines. We shouldn't think for one instance that those who reject the commandments of God are happy. Some, you might be here this morning and think, well, I prefer not following God. Or we hear people say, oh, I'm happy not being a Christian. We shouldn't take that, take those people at their words. There's no happiness outside of God. You may have some temporary gratification. You may have some worldly pleasure. But at the end, it always leads to death. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but at the end, it leads to death. You might think that your way is good, that it was right, it will lead you to somewhere. But at the end, it will lead you to death. How many people in this world are carrying the burden of sin on their shoulder? And they put a nice smile on their face. I'm fine. I'm okay. You know, when children get hurt, I'm okay. But they're hurting. Many people in this world are hurting because they're following the ways and the commands of the world and of Satan. The Bible says that those who practice lawlessness have reason to fear, because they have to give an account one day of everything that they've done in the flesh. Anyone who decide to follow their own law and reject the law of God, for example, those men who decided to kill people and break the commandment, thou shalt not kill, they will have to give an account one day for that. Trust me. Whatever pleasure they took from doing it, whatever joy they had while they were doing it, they will pay for it. And they will pay a heavy, heavy price for that. The alternative of obeying God's command is not better. On the other hand, the commandments of God are not burdensome for those who love God. And I want to give four reasons why I believe John can say in this text, although we struggle with sin, although we know that God's commandments are hard, I'm going to give four reasons why I believe John says the commandments of God are not burdensome. They're not exhaustive. You can find many, many more reasons, but I think those are pretty close. Number one, God's commandments are not burdensome because they are good. God's commandments are not burdensome because they are good. We read Psalm 19 this morning. The word of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The commands of the Lord are right. The law of the Lord is perfect. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, the law is good. In Romans chapter 7, verse 12, he says, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. God's law is good. We just have to sit and think about it for a minute. Thou shalt not kill is good, because it protects us. Thou shalt not lie is good, because it protects us. Thou shalt not commit adultery is good, because it protects us. Think of the alternative. Let's take covetousness, for example. Thou shalt not covet. What happens when we desire what does not belong to us? We desire what belongs to someone else. What happens? We are tortured. I want it. I want what he has. I want what she has. Why does she have it and I don't have it? You can't sleep at night because you're not satisfied with what you have. You work hard, but you still can't get it. And when you get it, you want more, you want more, you want more. And it's a slavery. That's the yoke of covetousness. That's the burden of wanting what does not belong to you. What's the alternative? Contentment. When you're content, if you have little, you're okay. When someone has something that you don't have, you're happy for them. There's a song that we like to sing, little is much when God is in it. When you're content with what you have, you're thankful. You have little, you're thankful. You have much, you're thankful. You don't always desire more and more and more. There is a burden, there is a slavery in covetousness. But there is freedom in contentment. When you compare the law of God and the law of this world, The law of God is good. We can go through all the commandments and you will see, you compare the law of God and the law of this world, you will come out always seeing that the law of God is good. Number two, God's commands are not burdensome because they are good. Number two, God's commands are not burdensome because in doing them, there are great rewards to those who obey. God's commands are not burdensome because in doing them, there are great rewards. Psalm 19, verse 1. By them, by your law, is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. I know we should not always be motivated by rewards. We obey God's command because they are good and because it's the right thing to do, even if there's no reward. But sometimes the Bible does say that those who obey God's commandments get a reward. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 27. There will be blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 4. Obey me, God says, and do everything that I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. If when we obey God's commandments, He builds a relationship with us. That's a reward. Being a child of God, being born of God, is a great reward. It's the best reward that you can have. 1 John, our text, 2 verse 17 says, the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. There is great reward in obeying the commandments of God. You might not get this reward in here on earth. But if you live a life of obedience to God, there is going to be great reward for you and myself in heaven. Great reward, God says. But for those who don't obey God's commandment, there is no reward. They perish. They pass away. But those who do the will of the Father abide forever. Number three, God's commands are not burdensome because Christ has fulfilled them on our behalf. And I think that is more dear to me. God's commands are not burdensome because Christ has fulfilled them on our behalf. Christ came to this world to do the will of the Father and to fulfill the law on our behalf. You know, if in our attempt to obey God's word, in our attempt to obey God, we often fail. We fail regularly. We fail all the time. That's why it's hard. But because we are in Christ, God is always pleased with us. Because we are in Christ, that burden is not as heavy because Christ carried it and nailed it to the cross. That's why we celebrate communion, because Christ has lifted our burden at Calvary. The burden of the law, the burden of not being able to obey all of God's command has been lifted because of Christ's work at the cross. They were nailed to the cross and we don't have to carry them anymore. Christ's work and sacrifice remove the condemnation and the guilt associated with the law, associated with disobeying God's command. And because Christ freed us, we have freedom to obey God. You see, I don't obey God because I want to be justified. I don't obey God because I want to go to heaven. I obey God because Christ obeyed God perfectly. I obey God as a way of thanking Him for what He's done for me. Paul says, the grace of God towards me was not in vain. And because of Christ's grace, I work harder than anybody else. It is the grace of God that enabled Paul to work hard. It is the grace of God and the love of God that enabled him to do well and to obey God's commandments. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is of life in Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we are in the Spirit, all the requirements of the law, all the commandments of God has been fulfilled in us. And that makes it much easier for you and I to obey God's command. And that means that God's command are not burdensome. And then number four and finally, God's commands or commandments are not burdensome if they're carried out in love. God's commandments are not burdensome if they are carried out in love. If you look through the book of John, his emphasis have always been love. If we look at the Ten Commandments or any of the rules that we read in the New Testament and everywhere, and you see them as rules to be obeyed, do this, do that, pray, go to church, give your offering, evangelize. If you see them as a set of rules for you to obey, of course they would seem difficult. But if you see them as an expression of your love for God, they will seem like nothing. God's love constrains us. Jacob served 7 years and it seemed like a few days because he loved Rachel. God's commandments should seem like nothing to us because we love God. And if you love God, you will desire to do his commandment. You will delight in his word. You will delight in his law. You will delight in obeying him because you love him. When we disobey, brothers and sisters, when we disobey, what we have to do, what we have to pray above all else is, God, give me more love for you. Because if I love you more, I will obey you more. Anytime you disobey, anytime you're struggling, what you should ask God is more love. More love. Because when you love God, if you love God, you will not take his name in vain. If you love God, you will have no other gods beside him. If you love God, you will not build for yourself any idols. If you love God, you will honor your father and mother. If you love God, you will not kill. If you love God, you will not steal. If you love God, you will not lie. You will not bear false witness. If you love God, you will not covet your neighbor's property. If you love God, you will serve him wholeheartedly and with full of joy because you love him. And if you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, it will be easy for you to forgive them. It will be easy for you to share whatever you have of wealth with them. If you love, then you don't have to worry about commandments because you will do it with freedom and joy. And you will say, as John, I desire to do your will, O God, because your will and your commandments and your precepts are not burdensome. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my prayer this morning for those who do not know you is that you may work in their heart in such a way that they may see the burden of sin, that they may see the deceitfulness of this world, that they may see that they are heading to a lost eternity, and that they will be separated from you, that there is no joy in forsaking your law, that there is no joy in abandoning you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit may work in their heart in such a way that they may be flooded with your love, and that they may believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. For us, Father, who are saved, Lord, we confess that we do struggle. We do sometimes feel the burden of carrying our cross daily, of being willing to give even our lives for you. And Lord, my prayer, my one request this morning is that you may increase our love for you. Increase our love for you, Lord. Help us to know how wide and deep and long is your love. May your Holy Spirit manifest this love in our hearts and in our minds. May we be saturated with that love, so that whatever you ask us to do, whatever commands, whatever you ask, Father, of us, it may seem like a piece of cake because we love you and because you first loved us. Father, thank you for your word. May it bring joy to our hearts. And may we be blessed this morning by it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'll call on the deacons who will get ready for our communion table.